In the name of Jesus, amen. The text is the Holy Gospel that you just heard. Dear brothers and sisters of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, in 1861, at least to the best of my knowledge, the first Bataks in Sumatra were baptized. And then, in 1862, the missionary pastor Ludwig Nomensen arrived from the Rhenish Mission Society. And putting his life in enormous jeopardy, he baptized and taught. Humanly speaking, making disciples of hardcore unbelievers, even cannibals, that's dicey work. Can you imagine? I can't. Mission work is not just dicey, but it also looks to be impossible, at least from our perspective. And nonetheless, the Lord had good use of Pastor Nomensen, just as the Lord did with the 11 in Matthew 28, and with many more over the centuries and even today until the end of time. Jesus makes disciples of all nations. He does that gargantuan task through his church and through his ministers and missionaries that serve in the church. Those that Jesus sends to make disciples of all nations are nothing but his instruments. Really, there's not much confidence in the pastors, the missionaries, etc. You can't rely on them. Why? Because they're sinners. Remember the text? Among the 11, there were worshipers, but there were also what? Doubters, the text says. You remember Thomas in John 20? Huh? But with the Lord Jesus, that's a whole different matter. It is. It really is. After all, he is the one who defeated death. He is the one who defeated the devil, who shed his blood to atone for all sin. So, all authority in heaven and on earth, Jesus gives his promise in the text. Lo, I am with you always to the end of the age. And so what he mandates to be done, he does. He's the one doing it, most certainly and most surely. And so, based on the divine promise in the text, lo, I am with you, the 11, Nomensen, and all preachers like a Mays or a Kuhlman do what they've been given to do, and they leave the rest up to the Lord. Some plant, some water. You know the rest, don't you? God gives the growth. We forget that, don't we? When and where it pleases him, God does that in those who hear the gospel. So Pastor Nomensen did the Lord's work, and when Nomensen died in 1918, the Bataks Church had 34 pastors, 788 teacher preachers, and 180,000 members in more than 500 congregations. And now there are over 4.5 million baptized Christians in Indonesia. What the Lord Jesus started with, the 11, there are now over 2 billion Christians in the world. The baptizing and the teaching continues until when? Judgment Day. All according to our Lord's bidding in Matthew 28. All done according to the Lord's all authority in heaven and on earth given to him. The Lord's all authority emerges in the full light of his resurrection from the grave. It is the same authority by which he was, as we learn from Matthew's gospel, Matthew 1:21, to do what? To save his people from their sins. And to forgive sin, as it continues in Matthew's gospel in Matthew 9. Do you remember that? To the paralytic, Jesus categorically declared, "Take heart, my son, your sins are forgiven." Remember that? And everyone was amazed at that authority to forgive sins on earth. And then you remember in Matthew's gospel, there's Matthew 16 and Matthew 18. The authority of the office of the keys, where Jesus says, whatever you loose on earth is loosed in heaven. Christ's authority is the authority to save sinners. You, me, an entire world full, the Batak people in Indonesia. And so Jesus does a Good Friday. He who knew no sin was made to be sin. The Lord laid on him the iniquity of us all. In Christ's crucified body, he carried the sin of everyone. No sin or no sinner he left out. Tell me, can you name a sinner that Jesus didn't die for? Can you? Didn't think so. Can you give me a sin that he left out of his Good Friday death on the cross? Huh? Can you? I didn't think so. So there at Calvary, the divine Son of the Father and the human Son of the Virgin Mary gets numbered with the transgressors. He bears the full, hellacious penalty of damnation incurred by the sin of the world, made to be a curse, as Paul says in Galatians 3. Yes, Jesus is the Lamb of God. He takes away the sin of the world. As he crucifixionally offers his divine body and divine blood as the only atoning sacrifice that purifies and cleanses sinners from their sin, 1 John 1. And now risen from the dead on the third day, but also the first day of the week, a new creation has dawned. The resurrection of Jesus marks the beginning of a new creation. Just as light first shone into the darkness on the first day, we heard it in Genesis, remember? On the first day of the old creation, so the light of Christ breaks through the darkness of the world's death. In the resurrection of Jesus, a new creation has broken through, even though the old is passing away. And so the risen Lord Jesus sees to it that what he won on the cross gets delivered, bestowed, and given to those for whom he died. And so, as the text says, the 11 go to where the Lord instructed. Who's in charge? Jesus comes to them. In Matthew 28, all authority in heaven and on earth, Jesus mandates baptizing and teaching. It is for the delivery of his Good Friday salvation. It's how disciples from all nations are made. Baptizing and teaching is how the Lord Jesus has a what? A church. It is how he does mission work. It is how he churches people around himself from all over the world. He gathers sinners from all over the world around himself through the preaching office, so that people will believe in him and hang on only to him, be his hangers-on, if you will, and to trust in him for salvation. Now, let me finish this sermon with a flurry, because you're hot, you're tired, you're ready to eat. Just a few more minutes regarding these particular words in Matthew 28, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And every time that you see a baptism, all you see with your eyes is a man's hand splashing the water or the man's voice speaking the words. Nevertheless, it is God's hand that is doing the baptizing. It is God's voice that you hear. Why? Because Jesus said, "Lo, I am with you always to the end of the age." With the giving of the triune name in holy baptism, the Holy Trinity is there. Do you know that? That's absolutely true. The Large Catechism correctly teaches, according to the scripture, that to be baptized in the name of God is to be baptized by who? God himself. God's name, God's there, giving himself. And this is really important because the name of God is not just some static or generic presence. With the bestowing of his name in baptism, the Holy Trinity rolls up his sleeves and acts and promises to be God for you, the baptized. The triune God, listen carefully, the triune God does not live for himself. The triune God does not exist for himself. He lives outside of himself and he exists for you. And so anyone baptized in the name of the Father has God as his Father. Anyone baptized in the name of Jesus the Son receives all the benefits of the Son's Good Friday redeeming death on the cross. Anyone baptized in the name of the Holy Spirit receives the life-giving and life-sustaining power and presence of the Holy Spirit. Are you Holy Spirit filled? What's the answer? Yes. How do you know that? I'm baptized. So in holy baptism, the triune God is for you, for your salvation. Jesus promises, you remember all this, you all remember it, Mark 16:16. You believe and you're baptized, you are? You're saved, that's right. His divine name is never a nothing. The divine triune name saves. It saves sinners. It saves you, me, and all people baptized in the triune name. So holy baptism then is the gospel of the Holy Trinity. Three eternal persons in one eternal being, one being in three persons. The Holy Trinity then gives salvation with his name. Isn't that wonderful? Check it out. I'm going to tie this together with the Old Testament reading that we heard. In the beginning, the Father did what? Created. The Spirit of God broods over the water. The Word of God, Jesus, speaks. The Father creates through the Word, Jesus, and through the Holy Spirit, who is joined to the water. Now get a load of this. Creation and baptism, then, are intimately connected with one another. Both are beginnings. The first Genesis, creation. The second, baptism, new creation. Both the work and the gift of God the Father through the Son, in the Spirit, with the water. This is precisely why Jesus told Nicodemus in John 3 that in order to be born from above or born again, one must be born of water and of the Spirit, holy baptism. And that's why St. Paul then categorically writes in Titus 3 that God saved us through the washing of, rebirth, and renewal by the Holy Spirit. That's holy baptism. Baptism done in the triune name, Matthew 28. And so 2 Corinthians 5 correctly teaches, if anyone is in Christ, he is a what? A new creation. That's right. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. So let's clinch it. To be baptized in the triune name is to be brought to a new beginning. A very good, miraculous, and astonishing new creation spelled F-A-I-T-H. This is what it means to be a human being. The righteous live by what? Faith, as Paul teaches in Romans 1. Like Adam and Eve, before they fell into sin. Faith in the triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, who forgives you, who cleanses you, who feeds you, who brings you order and peace until that day when he raises you from your graves. And the Holy Trinity, on that last day, will say once again, like the Holy Trinity said at the beginning, very good. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus.